from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me the way. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He can bring me out, show me the way. Praise God, I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm so glad that I found out He could bring me out, show me the way.
Amen. Aren't you glad you're free tonight? Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord? We had a time here over the weekend, didn't we? Amen. Everybody was looking for a deacon to help them get to the car. And the deacons were saying, fight for yourself. I'm having enough trouble getting our own self. But it ain't nothing but the truth. Ain't nothing but the truth. Can you say amen to that? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord? I tell you what, the word of the Lord will get us in shape, Brother Terry. Amen. The word of the Lord is corrective sometimes. Sometimes it cuts us to the bone. But you know what? I need every whipping I get. Now, some of you may not need it, but you just pray for us that do. I appreciate the word of God. Because I know how this old stubborn flesh gets sometimes. It needs to be whipped back in shape. Are you glad to be in church tonight? Are you glad you come back for some more correction? Are you glad you love the word of the Lord? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise tonight. You love Him with all your heart. Praise the Lord. Why don't you turn around and shake somebody's hand. Greet them in the name of the Lord. Tell them you're glad to see them in church on Wednesday night. Brethren, if you will play some more of that. Let's sing a little bit more of that. God, I am free, free, free from this. Nothing, my brother. I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by His wonderful grace. I'm going to let you be seated for just a few minutes tonight while we look at our prayer requests. Got several things we need to tell you about tonight. I want to pray for Sister Carrington Daly's Mama Archer. She is very sick and in the medical center, so let's remember that prayer request tonight as we pray. Sister Ruth Enyon says, thank you so much for your prayers and your acts of kindness. I start physical therapy on Friday. Pray that all will go well, so let's remember that. And we thank the Lord that He's brought her safely through this so far. Sister Lona Harris says, I have a very special unspoken prayer request and a prayer request for a very close friend of ours, Brother Charlie Kincaid from Campbellsville, Kentucky. He's in the hospital with viral meningitis, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request tonight. Sister Shirley Robbins says that she would like to praise the Lord for being with her during her surgery. Thanks to all the church family for all they did, for your prayers, cards, food, etc. May God bless you, from Sister Shirley. So we thank the Lord that she's doing well, right? Amen. Sister Brenda Harmon called to request prayer for her daughter Dakota. She had a temperature of 103 degrees and was taking her to the doctor to determine the cause of her illness. So we certainly want to pray for that need tonight. Sister Bonnie Potter says, please ask the church to pray for my boss's mother-in-law, Glenna Owens. She has been diagnosed with cancer, so they're asking that we would remember that prayer request. And then Sister Bonnie Potter turns in this testimony. I asked for prayer for a co-worker earlier this month and got a prayer cloth for him. Pete Wolf was his name. He had cancer in his ear and thought that he would lose it. He had surgery on the ear. It looks amazingly well and no sign of cancer. Praise the Lord. So they're thanking God for that tonight. Amen. I want to pray for Frederick Arndt, who is not feeling well. Also for Sarah Arndt, for traveling safety, that the Lord would be mindful of those folks. So let's remember that need. I want to pray for Brother and Sister Baker, both sick, unable to be in the service tonight. So let's remember them. This is a testimony of several months back. We requested prayer for a couple of little girls from Canada. One of them, the little girl from Canada, who were seriously sick. They are both doing well. Kaya, who had a brain tumor and not expected to live, is going back to school, is walking, talking, and doing well. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Haley is also progressing really well from the cancer on her ankle and foot area. The families want to give thanks to our Lord Jesus Christ and for all of your prayers that you have prayed on their behalf. Somebody say praise the Lord. Isn't God so good to us tonight, church? Praise the Lord. I want to pray for Brother Michael Bailey. He is homesick tonight, needs healing. Let's remember him. All the unspoken prayer requests tonight, if you have a need, we'll just commit these things unto the Lord. You believe God's more than able to meet our needs tonight? Do you believe that with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Brother Joel Brown, would you come tonight? Lead us to the Lord in prayer on behalf of these prayer requests. As we stand tonight, let's just sing that little chorus together once again. Thank God I am free. Thank God I am free, free, free.
Father, we can know that we've been saved because an illumination has parted the portals of eternity and shone down in the darkness of humanity and lightened our way. And we know that the prophet has told us that sometimes that light that that little lantern would give would just be sufficient enough to see just the next step that we could take. The entire path wouldn't be made clear. But we know who has illuminated the lantern as it was. And so we're walking in that light. For we know that in that light is life. And so, Lord, we're here tonight. Lord, we've heard these requests of prayer. And we just ask that you would just move on them according to your provision, your grace and your mercy. And some of them, Father, are very dear to us because they are family. They're very, very close loved ones. And thinking of the little sis who is there with a high fever. Oh God, may you just move on the scene as they're making their way to the hospital now, the doctor's office, wherever it is that they're going. And Lord, I know how you move for me time and time again, even my own family, my little ones being sick. And that evening many years ago, Father, when I held him in my arms, just a little infant, Lord, and just cried out to you there on the couch. And I began to feel the heat begin to leave the little man's body. And oh God, how you are gracious, how you are kind. We believe you, Jesus, and we're calling you on the scene. And in this service, you have the preeminence. Everything, every thought that we've had, every confusing way that's been put before us that would try to dampen, that would try to hinder, that would try to persuade us to not even be in the service, we set it aside tonight and we lift you on high, Father God. And you said that if you would be lifted up, that you would draw all men unto yourself. And Lord, if we lift you up, you would even draw us closer unto you. And so Lord, we don't want any idol between you and us. May everything be clear. May we be free to worship. May we be free to extol. May we be free, Father, to enter into an atmosphere, Father, that you would be welcome, Father. We love you. We honor you. We adore you. We give you all the praise, honor, and glory. And it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Ushers, if you want to come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're a visitor here tonight with us in this service, we certainly want to take this opportunity to welcome each and every one of you. All those that are streaming this service tonight, we pray this service would be a blessing to those folks as well. Now, we're focused on one thing tonight. That's this service. You're focused on one thing, making a contribution to this service tonight. Is that your focus? Everything else, boy, behind you. It'll be waiting on you when you get outside, I promise you. It ain't going nowhere. But your focus right now, we're going to have church here tonight. We're going to pray for our pastor. We're going to pull on the gift of God. We're going to have camp meeting on Wednesday night. Somebody say praise the Lord. Give him one more hand clap of praise if you love him. Hallelujah. So many times it's so easy to lose our focus. You ever lost your focus? Every one of us have. And we continually do that. Sometimes we need to be refocused. So let's refocus tonight. We're here to have church. Never be together probably like this again as long as there's time. Exactly the way we are tonight. Let's make the most out of it. God has done great things for you just today. Just today He has done great things for every one of us. Do you love Him with all your heart? Somebody say praise the Lord. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give him one more hand clap of praise tonight. I want you guys to play it tonight. A little girl was lying there. People all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping. As he took her by the hand, began to live again. Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say, He's in the house. Death had to flee. Now there's light where darkness used to be.
Touched his heart and mind, gave me life again.
Hallelujah.
I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me.
Oh, say it, buddy.
For all the world to see.
Now there's light. little girl was lying there. The people all were weeping. They just laughed at Jesus when he said she's only sleeping.
And he took her by the hand.
Hallelujah.
She began Hallelujah. To live again.
Glory.
Some began to praise the Lord. Some began to say,
oh, he's in the house. He had to flee.
Had to flee.
Now there's life.
There is life. Touch this heart of mine. He gave me life again. I am just a house of clay. Ever since that blessed day, there's a light that shines in me for all the world to see.
Before we sing it, let's sing this little song tonight. Brother Joel says his voice is just about gone. We'll just get the rest of it while he's up here tonight. But this is a good song. Joshua had a great commission, but he kept being told, only be courageous. Just be courageous. Wonder why he had to be told that so many times. That was the main thing that he was told. Don't fear. Be courageous. You've got a great chore ahead of you.
Right.
All we can say to every one of us, to each other, don't be afraid. Be bold. Be strong. The Lord thy God is with thee. If you don't believe that, you might as well go home now.
Right.
He's with you tonight. He's with you. Play it, buddy. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Thank you. Comes out, sing just a little bit of that. If anybody wants to know where I'm going, we're going over yonder. Just as Brother Donnie gets ready to, we're wearing that song out real quick, but we'll learn another when it wears out. Ain't nobody sing it like this guy
you
right
stay
here.
Stay away from me, because okay, I was up here. He wouldn't let me go.
Sing, buddy.
Need to praise the Lord. He held on to me. I remember back in the day, the rules of dancing were the gentleman would come and tap the other man on the shoulder. And he would just bow out. Brother Louie, he just ain't going to do that. Amen. Amen. If you want to know where I'm, I believe this, where I'm going one day soon. If anybody asks you where I'm going, where I'm going, one day soon, tell them for me, I'm going up yonder, I'm going up to yonder, I'm going up to yonder. Yonder, I'm going up to yonder, I'm going up to yonder, to be with my Lord.
I like this song.
Now I can take the pains of life, the heartache that it brings, there's comfort in knowing I'm gonna soon fly away. Put on wings and fly away. As God gives me grace, I'll run this Christian race until I see my Savior, till I see Him face to face. I'm going gonna soon fly away. I'll be changed as God gives me grace. I'll run this fishing race, and then I'll see my Savior. How do I get up there, Mama? Mama, how do I get up there? Just like your wings, I'm going in the rapture. Just like your wings, I'm going in the rapture. Goodbye, bye, bye, world, I'm going in the rapture.
Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. I'm glad we have that promise tonight. While the majority of the world's heading straight for tribulation, you're heading for a body change by the grace of God. Amen. Let's turn tonight to the book of Numbers, if you would. Chapter 22, verse 36. Numbers chapter 22, verse 36. This Brother Thomas, Brother Louis from Africa. God bless you, brother. Numbers chapter 22, verse 36. Looks like our screen's giving us a little bit of problem tonight, but we'll go back to the old-fashioned way of reading the Bible. I want to speak to you again tonight on the lives of the prophets, and we'd like to look at a false prophet. A good one at that. Good as far as gifted. Not good as far as living right. Balaam. Numbers 22:36. When Balak heard that Balaam was come, he went out to meet him unto a city of Moab, which is in the border of Arnon, which is in the utmost coast. And Balak said unto Balaam, did not I earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am not I able to promote thee to honor? And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am come unto thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. Now God can put true word in the mouth of a false prophet, like God can put human words in the mouth of a donkey. No different. Does it mean if a donkey speaks human words, it's from his heart? Does it mean the donkey is a human? If a false prophet says true prophecy, does it make that man true and genuine? No more than it makes a donkey a human. Well, it got you thinking anyway. Now notice how he signifies this, that he himself cannot say it unless God puts it in his mouth. The word that God putteth in my mouth, that shall I speak. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came to Kirjath Hazzoth. Let's bow our heads together. Heavenly Fathers, we bow our heads in the presence of the living Word. We are grateful tonight, Lord, that we have a great hope of the resurrection, the rapture that lays before us. And we're going up yonder while the world is rocking and shaking with earthquakes and wars, rumors of wars and all kinds of trouble. We're getting ready to leave this world. We are so grateful that we have a message of preparation, a rapture message to take a body change with. We pray you'd speak to us tonight your great word, Heavenly Father. Lord, as I wear this prayer cross tonight, Father, for Sister Ruth, we're just asking you, Lord, on her behalf that you'd move for her, Lord Jesus. We're believing you that you're a healer, a miracle worker, one who can move in our bodies. Be mindful of our sister, Father. Anoint us tonight to speak your word. Anoint the saints to be able to hear the word. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. God bless you, saints. You may be seated. Balak kind of is going to start out a little bit with rebuking Balaam for delaying. He wants to let him know that he's a great man. He wants to let him know he has great power to be able to give man honor and riches and wealth and whatever more. So he kind of starts out chatting with him a little bit. And Balaam is just now fresh from under the influence of hearing a donkey talk. So Balaam wants to reassure Balak that he can only say what God has said. He doesn't want him to build up his hopes very high because he's not very sure that he will be able to do anything contrary to the word. Now let me just be honest and say this to you in this way. I don't fully understand how the gift in a false prophet works. I don't understand how that when a man like this is so gifted, how the Spirit of God can move upon him in the similar way that it is on a true prophet. And whenever he speaks in the name of the Lord, that there is no room or margin for error. Now, it's unlike a man who is preaching. Now, this is one thing that a lot of these fault finders in the message, you know, they just run around and think they've found so many things. We've looked at them years ago. And they think they've found so many things. And, oh, look here, look at that. He said this here and said this there. So what? I mean, it's a human being preaching the gospel, which is totally different than a prophet standing up saying, thus saith the Lord, this and this and this will happen. Whenever prophets are also preachers, you're going to find this change, and you're going to find them saying something here and saying it over there a little different and telling a story a little different over here. But when they stand and they speak, thus saith the Lord, it's totally different than a preaching gift. So I'm not a prophet, so I don't understand exactly how this works. But Balaam knew that as long as the Spirit of God would move upon him, that he did not have the capability of going in and altering those words which would come out of his mouth. Now, he had a gift. It was so real and so genuine that he could speak on behalf of that gift and know that if God anointed that gift, that really he had no power over the words which would come out. Now, he did have ability to interject doctrine. Now, let's just take this and look what the Bible tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, also in the book of Numbers, how you would identify a prophet. The trait and the characteristics, according to what Moses said, of a true prophet is that what a true prophet says, he will come to pass. And when that word comes to pass, you'll know that man is a prophet. Now, if we take that characteristic alone, we will have to identify Balaam the soothsayer as a true prophet, and all of us will have to fear him. Because when that man prophesied, some of the things he prophesied 3,300 years ago are still coming to pass this very night. So if we're going to take one scriptural trait only and identify a man as being a prophet, and we've got to fear that man by that only, then we will have to fear Balaam. Because when he stood up and prophesied in the name of the Lord, it was exactly so. As a matter of fact, when he got so under the influence of prophecy and the Lord began to speak out about Jacob and about Israel, Balaam was so overwhelmed, he said, let me die the death of the righteous.
let me even die like them. God, I hope I can even be like these people. It wasn't even in his heart. The prophecy was so real and so genuine. And when Balaam come out of that dimension and they begin to tell him back what he had to say, it so overwhelmed him that he become jealous of these people. How are you going to tell Balaam then? His doctrine. Praise the Lord. Now watch. Balak said unto Balaam, did not I earnestly send unto thee to call thee? Wherefore camest thou not unto me? Am not I able indeed to promote thee to honor? Man, do you know who I am? I'm the king here. I've got the ability. I've got the power. And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I am coming to thee. Have I now any power at all to say anything? Now listen what he's saying. I'm very doubtful that I'm going to be able to help you because I have this gift from God. Now listen, friends. The book of Joshua says that Balaam was a soothsayer. But the Bible also calls him a prophet. Praise the Lord. He is telling Balak, now don't get your hopes up because I'm telling you the way this gift is designed in me. All I can say is what God says. I don't have the ability. Now I want you to notice the way that Moses wrote this. He did not say the word of the Lord came unto Balaam as it did Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Hosea, Amos, and the true prophets of God. But he said the Lord put a word in his mouth. You see, this man is not a word-eating prophet. He's only a word-speaking prophet. Now listen, he don't eat the word like Jeremiah. He did not love the word like David. He did not consume the word like Paul. But he could speak the word because God put the word in his mouth. He is no more than this microphone right here. This microphone, which was ordered from some electronic store, some country music singer could have got it because that's the same kind they use. Some rock and roll singer could have got it. Who knows what kind of singer could have got it. From this same microphone could have come filthy jokes in some karaoke type place. It could have went to some nightclub, but instead, Brother Michael ordered it. We hooked it up here. All kinds of words of life have come through this microphone. All kinds of folks around the world have been delivered through the words that come through this microphone as the Holy Ghost anoints me and these other men of God. And we say the words and we put the words through this microphone. But the microphone can't heal. The microphone ain't got no life. And the microphone has no intelligence. Same with a true false prophet. A real false prophet. I'm not talking about a man now that gets an error and gets straightened out. But a false prophet that truly is a false prophet. God can put the word. You say, why would God do that? To turn the curse into a blessing. God is going to profoundly confound them in such a way. And he will say things out of Balaam's mouth that he don't even say out of Moses' mouth. Why? Because he wants to show himself God. Now, Balaam, if he'd be honest, he'd say, I'll tell you one thing, gladly would I curse these people if I could. Because you're going to get rid of this old donkey of mine. She's got 175,000 miles on her. And I'm more slap out. I ain't got no retirement, no insurance, no social security. And you can promote me. And I've done no right up front. If I don't tell you what you want to hear, you ain't going to bless me with a bunch of money. That's the way a lot of folks are today, too. Ain't it? You tell them what the word wants them to hear, boy, they'll get mad in a hornet. Well, not everybody. Thank God we still got some saved folks around, and they want to hear the truth. But you'd imagine how Balaam is a man. He would have loved honor. He would have loved money. So I said, don't get your hopes up very high because I know the way this gift works. This gift works in such a way that when I'm inspired and I break into that fourth dimension, that realm of vision, and it breaks out into me, it's like I go into another realm and something so takes me over and I can't say anything. I can't even interrupt it. I can't even pronounce the words. I mean, I'd be in Africa and India and wherever more. And I'll call their names in discernment, and I don't even know what their names even means. You understand? And I don't even know what it's even saying. But when I come back out of it, I don't even know what was even said. So I'm telling you, unless God wants me to curse these people, I can curse them. Oh, my. And Balaam said unto Balak, lo, I come unto thee, have not any power at all to say anything. The word that God put us in my mouth, that shall I speak. Now, I want you to notice how he addresses him. God, Elohim, not Jehovah, Lord. This is identical to the way the devil approached Eve in the form of the serpent. Yea, hath God said. God had made himself known under the compound dispensational name of Lord God. And the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. And the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth. And the Lord God did this. And the Lord God did that. But when the serpent came to Eve, he said, yea, hath God said. Not Lord God. Not loving Father, not Jehovah with his family, but the impersonal Elohim, which is so far away from you that can't relate to your troubles and your heartaches and your difficulties. So here now Balaam is saying exactly the same thing. Oh my. Look at verse 39. And Balaam went with Balak, and they came unto Kirjath Huzoth, which means a city full of streets. A very populous place. A city that had men, women, children, civilizations, all their places that they worshiped and shopped. Now looks what he does. He brings Balaam to this spot in order to move on Balaam's compassion. Now look at what's at stake here, man. If you put a blessing on these people, do you know what these people is going to do to these kids? Do you know what these people is going to do to all these innocent mothers and all these innocent children? They'll come in here and they'll destroy us.
Oh, you think the devil ain't sly, friends? Notice in verse 40. And Balak offered oxen and sheep and sent to Balaam and to the princes that were with him. Now this is his heathenistic way of approaching his gods. And it came to pass on the morrow that Balak took Balaam and brought him up unto the high places of Baal. What in the world is Balaam, a prophet, going up into the high places of Baal for? Now what's the doctrine of Balaam? It starts of merging together before he ever even sees Israel. Now watch what the scripture said. That Balaam took Balaam and brought him up into the high places of Baal, that thence he might see the outermost part of the people. Now, of course, the high places of Baal, they would take and pick a high mountain or a high hill, and there they would plant what they call groves. You remember reading that in the Bible? And it was a grove of trees. And there they would build up alders, and they was, of course, really dry and arid and hot, so they wanted to have a place of shade. So there they would go. So here he brings him up, they offer their sacrifices, and he sent him part of the meat of that offering, which was fellowshipping with idols or devils when he would eat of it. So now he brings him up to the high place of Baal. He wants to bring him to a spot. Now this is what is called quasi-sacramental, and that was a term which was used in looking at the view or the ability of a soothsayer or a wizard or a witch. And that was that before they could curse people, they had to see them. So Balak did not want him to see a little portion of the children of Israel, but he wanted him to see as many as possible. So he brought him up in this high place, and he's sitting back now looking at the rear of the camp, which would have been Dan, and he brings him up with this concept of the quasi-sacramental view that in order to curse them, if you only see 1,000 of them, and you pronounce a curse on 1,000, why not do 1,000,000 of them or 2 at a time? So he brings him up really high, and he wants to look at him because he really believes now this prophet's going to curse him. Oh my. I wonder how many times the old devil's got his quasi-sacramental all situation set up for me and you. And he thought he was going to curse us, and the Lord turned that thing right into a blessing. Oh glory. Oh hallelujah. Notice Numbers 23 verse 1. And Balaam said unto Balak, build me here 7 altars, and prepare me here 7 oxen and 7 rams. Now notice, he's not now approaching Baal. This is not the way they would have approached Baal.
But he's now going to approach the God of Israel. Now remember, these were heathens, so it was not that they denied Elohim. He was of the offspring of Lot. And so it wasn't they denied Elohim, but they worshipped Elohim along with other gods. So they had no problem in worshiping Elohim, but they did have a problem in worshiping him alone. So they wanted to worship Chemosh and Ashtaroth, and they wanted to worship all the rest of these gods, and they would make Elohim just one among many. So sure, I mean, you know, you got one more god. What's the problem in adding one more god? It's just quite a god to have. I mean, he can make your tennis shoes last 40 years. He can make your food last for 40 years and really take care of you. So none of their gods could do that sort of thing. So why not add another god to your whole list? So he's going to come now, but Balaam knows in order to find favor with God, he's going to worship in a total different way than the way Balak has just done. So he brings up and he says, build me 7 altars. Now that sounds really good, but that's off the word. You'll never find Abraham. You'll never find Moses. You'll never find Aaron. You'll never find Isaac or Jacob building more than one provided place of worship. Now they might offer multiple sacrifices according to what they were doing on that one altar, but Abraham never had one here and one there and one there and one there and one there. He was speaking of the merging together of heathenism and polluting the true worship of the one God. Now, whether you understand it, every altar that you would build was a signification of another deity. That's why the one God, you see the Old Testament people, you don't find Abraham with an altar to the Father, an altar to the Son, and an altar to the Holy Ghost. Abraham wasn't a Trinitarian. And I'm his son, so I can't be one. Isaac was not a Trinitarian. Jacob was not a Trinitarian. Praise the Lord. So what did they do? They built one altar. Now watch though the doctrine of Balaam. It begins to merge heathenism with an element of truth. Perversion. So he has this wonderful number though. 7. Now he didn't go with 8. He didn't go with 9. He didn't go with 11. Which is off the numerics of the Bible, but he went with 7. Now this is really wonderful, or at least it sounds wonderful. Now look what he done. So he wants to bring this sacrifice, and he says, build me here 7 altars and prepare me 7 oxen and 7 rams. Now he's got the right sacrifice, he's got the right kind, but he's got the wrong number. So he's building 7. Notice these were the most prized animals that a person could offer on an altar. So he knows now that an altar, it signifies sacrifice. So it's not just giving something that you don't want. You know, like you go through your closet and you give away your stuff to Goodwill and something you don't like and this and another. That's not really a sacrifice. You're doing yourself a favor. You're getting rid of it. But really a sacrifice would be for you to go in there and pick out your favorite shirt and your favorite pair of jeans and your favorite tie and give that to somebody. That's a sacrifice. So Balaam knew that in order to get favor with God, that the worshiper had to stand by the altar and the worshiper had to give something that actually cost him something. So he brings the very best sacrifice at that time, which was these types of offerings that he's going to give. Now watch Balaam. The approach seems so godly. Seems so godly. Oh my. And Balak did as Balaam had spoken. And Balak and Balaam offered on every altar a bullock and a ram. So they go to Church of God, and then they come over to the Baptist, and then they... God has one provided place for worship. Not 7. There's not 900 different doors in which you can go through. God's got one place, and that's in Christ. So you imagine now they come and they bring the bullock and the ram and they worship and they approach God and then they move from there and they go over here. So it's like, oh, folks in the message. No, they just church hoppers. They go from here to there to there to there to there. And then they come over to number 2 and then they come to number 3 and number 4 and number 5 and number 6 and 7. So they go through the whole thing because they're trying to find favor with this God. What is it? A merging of heathenism with the one true God worship. Now, was the bull and the ram, was it exactly a type of Christ? Exactly. But it was the merging together of heathenism with truth. Why is the denomination so wrong, friends? Because it is the merging together of the headship of man with an element of truth. Do the Baptists have some truth? Sure they do. Do the Methodists? Sure they do. Do the Pentecostals? Sure they do. But it is an admixture of truth and error. Oh God, help us, Lord. Now these sacrifices are offered to the true God. So they worship. My, they're sincere. So they go to this altar, to that one, to that one, to that one. And Balaam said unto Balak, stand by the burnt offering, and I will go. Peradventure, the Lord will come to meet me, and whatsoever he shows me, I will tell thee. And he went to a high place. Now, they're already offering upon a great high place, but he goes to a higher place. What's he doing? Separating himself to a higher realm of sanctification. Now, what does Balak do? So Balak stays right there with the sacrifice. He's just walking around. Maybe he's never worshipped Elohim before. He don't know exactly what to do, so he just does what the prophet tells him. And he just stands out there, maybe going from one altar to the next, because he wants to show this God, this unknown God, unfamiliar to him. He wants to show him that he's sincere. So he don't go down and get him a cup of coffee and then go down and get him a donut and then come back with a slice of pumpkin pie. You know, come over, but he stays right there in church. Now he may hop around a little bit, he's Trinitarian, and then he gets baptized in Jesus' name, and he goes over here and raises some women preachers over here, but don't believe it over there. So he just kind of moves around from altar to altar to altar. But he wants to show God he's sincere. So here he goes, and while he's gone, my Balaam said, now you stay here. I'm going to go up a little higher and see if the Lord will come and tell me something. And he went to a high place. Now they're in the groves. So he goes to a higher place in the groves. Verse 4. And God met Balaam. I want you to notice how Moses terms deity meeting the false prophet. Not the compound name of Lord God. Not Jehovah existing with his family. But Elohim, creator of all things. That can create gnats, flies, fleas, and donkeys. Once again, the Lord is coming to another donkey. Except this one has two legs instead of four. Elohim! Look, friends, you and I are not going to put God in a box. God will do what he wants to do. He don't need our approval nor our permission. So Moses catches it by the revelation of deity that it was under what auspices? The auspices of God. Elohim, creator of heavens and earth, the same one that made the fleas and the flies and the gnats and all the bugs and all the animals on the earth. And he comes in that title. He's not coming in a sign of approval to Balak. Balak, you've done the right thing. It was absolute error. He's not coming, Balaam. I'm coming to you, baby, because you found favor in my eyes. You worship me the right way. Absolute error. God is coming to confound their wisdom. I know this is the side of God. A lot of folks don't want to hear it, but it's the side of God that's the truth anyhow. I've not come to gratify your desire. I've not come to prove you're right. I've not come even, Balak, to give you what you want, because when I get done giving, you ain't going to want it. But I have come to absolutely confound what you're going to do. Oh my. God met Balaam and said unto him, I have prepared seven altars. Now you imagine, God comes. Light, pillar of fire. We don't know exactly what it was, but here comes God. And Balaam looks at it. And then when God comes, Balaam says, I have prepared seven altars. And I have offered upon every altar a bullock and a ram. Watch him bragging now. I've done this, and I've done that, and I've done this. You don't find Abel going to church that way. Now look at Balaam. Instead of humbling, falling down before God. Oh God, does Balaam respond to the pillar of fire? By the manifestation of the testimony of his own works. I pay my tithes. I'll tell you one thing. I go to church. I listen to a tape every day. I read my Bible. I do this and that and the other. That ain't a true worshiper. That's a braggart. Well, praise the Lord. What's he doing this for, though? Why is he doing this? To find favor with deity. Look what I've done for you. Look the way I've approached you. I want your favor. Oh, my. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. Not grace in his heart. Not faith in his soul. But a word in his mouth. Like I've already put several into this microphone. Into this microphone has been channeled through this wireless body pack, which is on my side right here. Went through this receiver over here. Goes back through back here and it comes up through. Goes all over the internet. Can go around the world as words go through this. Absolutely transmitted. Is this saved? No. Is this redeemed? No. It is an instrument. And what was Balaam going to do? God was going to take. Oh my, think of it. God's law works under the law of contrast of both positive and negative. And if the devil was fool enough to try to use a false prophet, God will stand right up and say, I'll show you who's really God around here, devil. I'll show you what I can do with your own. Think it not strange? Was it not that evil spirit that come up down out of hell and said, if I can do your service, Lord, I sure will. He said, what will you do? He said, I'll go up among Ahab's prophets and I'll give them my spirit. I'll be a lying spirit on them. God said, go ahead, you can do it. Oh my. And the Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth and said, return unto Balak, and thus shalt thou speak. But these words, notice, they're not his. He don't love them. He don't want them. But he can't alter them. And this amazes me that God, looking at that channel, Brother Jim, knowing that even in the gift of a false prophet, God could trust that and know those words would be so accurate that even though the man in his own heart didn't even want to say it, didn't even believe it, God didn't need for him to believe it. God did not need for him to even say amen to it. But whatever that was that God allowed to be in that man, God could use that in such a way and get that man so far out of the way, that word could come right straight through him. And he couldn't even alter it. If it can do that through a soothsayer, what about a true prophet of God? Oh, hallelujah. And he returned unto him, and lo, he stood by his burnt sacrifice. Now, he's still in church. He's still doing what Lord Balaam told him. So he's standing right there in church. He and all the princes of Moab. And he took up his parable and said, Balak, the king of Moab, hath brought me from Aram out of the mountains of the east, saying, come, curse me, Jacob. Come, defy Israel. You imagine old Balak and the princes, man, they're getting their checkbooks out. They said, this old boy, there's hope for him after all. Now he's rehearsing what I done asked him to do. Boy, there's hope for this old guy. As I get the treasure ready, get him a house, get the Obamacare ready, get everything ready, man, we're going to sign this guy up on Social Security, get rid of that old 175,000 mile donkey, just bring him a Mercedes out here, get the old boy ready. And all of a sudden, Balaam turns around and the Spirit of God drops down on him. Amen! And he says, how shall I curse? Whom God hath not cursed, how shall I defy whom the Lord hath not defied? May I say to the defectors that want to pull away from this message, how can you curse what God has blessed? You beat your head against the wall and call Brother Randall a false prophet. How can you curse what God blessed? How can you curse this message of the end time when the Lord God has vindicated this way? Not defiled. Oh, I imagine they put their wallets back up when this come out. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Notice now Balaam, he says, for from the top of the rocks, I see him. Now imagine this prophet, this gift, the soothsayer had. And God takes a hold of that. And God begins to see. And God begins to speak. From the tops of the rocks, I see him. And from the hills, I behold him. Now this is, what as I mentioned to you that a while ago, that this is in their view what a witch or a medium or a soothsayer is supposed to do. They're supposed to see all of them. And then when they do, they'll go to cursing them. But instead, the Lord takes him over and said, shut up! Let me bar your mouth. And God said, from the tops of the rocks, I see him. Now it ain't Balaam looking no more. It ain't Balak looking no more. Can't you see, children, how that we look at ourselves and we look at one another and we see this fault and that fault. But what's important is, what does God see when God looks? From the tops of the rocks, I see him. And from the hills, I behold him. Lo, the people shall dwell alone. They have been scattered all over the earth. You go anywhere you want to go. I've been in Brooklyn. I've been in Europe. I've been in different places of the world. And when you get among them Jews, you'll always know who they are. You know why? Because the way they dress, because the way they talk in the Hebrew language, the prophecy of Balaam by the skip is still coming to pass 3,300 years later. They are still dwelling alone. Go to Brooklyn. Go down there to their avenues and see where they live. And look at them men with the curls hanging down the side of their face and their black hats and their black coat. You go to Sweden. You go to Switzerland. You go to Belgium. I've been to many of those places. You go there and you see them. Why? Because that word of God said they will be a separated people. They will act different. Amen. They'll even worship on a different day than all the rest of them. They will be a different people. They won't be a denomination. Amen. Hallelujah. The people shall dwell alone. How did he know this? He didn't have the first five books of Moses to read and refer back to. He didn't need them. God had a hold of his mouth. That's why some of you out there in Baptist, Methodist, and Pentecost, and wherever more, you might have sat in or some woman preacher somewhere, and she might have prophesied to you, one day you'll come to great truth. One day you'll come to the great light. Thus saith the Lord, this and this and this will happen to you. That don't mean she's a bit more called of God than man in the moon. But yet God could have took her mouth and sowed something in that predestinated seed in your soul that's still coming to pass to this very day. Why? Because it's God's word and not her word. Amen. Hallelujah. They will dwell alone and shall not be reckoned among the nations. You imagine 3,300 years ago, and it's still happening to this day. They are not reckoned among the nations. Look at Americans. When Americans go into France, when they go into Germany, what happens to them? They absorb right into the people. Look at the rest of the world for the most part. But look at Jews. They're different. I don't care where they live. Put them in Russia. Put them in the Ukraine. Put them in Switzerland. Put them wherever they are. Why? It's the word for them. And if they do that in the natural sense, what about the bride? Will not the bride of Christ not be reckoned among the Laodiceans? She won't be reckoned among the denominations. Even if she's in there, she will come out. Amen. Why? It's God's word. Listen. listen to this. The Targum of Jonathan says, they shall not be mixed or shall not be led in the laws of the people. Though they are scattered among the nations of the world, they will not be reckoned with them, nor mixed to be a part of them. Don't you understand why even Hitler in his day, well, whether they was in the Netherlands or whether they was in Germany or whether they was in Poland, the Jews looked different, they acted different, they spoke different, they worshiped on a different day. Hallelujah! And they are a type of the bride of Christ, the spiritual bride. That's why we're dressed different than the world. We don't preach the same things they preach. Sure, we preach the cross, but we preach it after the opening of the seven seals. We preach justification, but we preach justification after the opening of the seven seals. We don't preach it the way they do. We preach hell, but not the way the denomination do. We preach eternal life, but not the way the denomination do. We preach eternal security, but not the way the denomination do. Why? We are not to be reckoned among them. We are not of them nations. We are a kingdom. Glory! You imagine old Balak, his blood pressure is about 217 over 135. Them princes all around him, they're about ready to give him mouth to mouth. Old Balak's about ready to have a spasm here. He called this man in to blast these people. Absolutely sent them right down to the pits. And he's standing up and go to blessing them and talking about how good they are. In verse 10 he says, who can count the dust of Jacob? Where did he get this term? Where did he get this term that God had told Abraham? From dust to stars. Because the same God who told Abraham is now speaking through Balaam's mouth. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? Now you know that Israel was divided into four camps. Four major divisions. And under those four was three other camps. Four times three being 12. And he gets so overwhelmed under the inspiration of God. He said, I couldn't even count a quarter of them. That's a medium. I looked up to yonder and I couldn't even count a quarter of them. Balak said, don't say that. Judah, Reuben, Ephraim, and Dan. And Dan being the hinder part, which is where he was standing. And him looking across there, they said, Lord have mercy. There's so many of them, it's like dust on the seashore. It's like the stars, which is 20, oh hallelujah, 1 and 29 zeros behind it. It's what they now figure is available in the visible universe. Octillion. 100 octillion. Balaam looked out there and said, Lord, I want you to look at them. There's so many of them, I can't even count a quarter of them. And instead of prophesying their weakness, he's prophesying their greatness. And Balak looking around and said, what in the world have I done? How have I done this? And you think in your mind, well, look like to me that that man would have power over us, because we don't understand this gift. It ain't like the man was standing up and preaching and said, well, John 8:37 says so and so, and then you go read that in John 8:37, and you think, that ain't John 8:37, that's Mark 8:37. That preacher said, he stood up and misquoted that. Well, St. John 3:16, Jesus said, I'm the resurrection of the life. And you're sitting there saying, no, Brother Donnie, Jesus didn't say that there. That's not St. John 3:16. Why? Because am I under inspiration? I am. But is every word I say inspired? It is not. I'm a human being. And it'll go through my memory just like it was others. When prophets preach, it's the exact same way with them. But when they're under this, it's totally different. It's like they can't break a hyphen. They can't divide a word. They can't even even say the wrong word in exchange for another word. So it's not like that God is using their intelligence and saying it, but God has got them so under control. He breathes His own inspiration through them and says things that will happen thousands of years down the road, and you can write it down and take it to the bank. It's more secure than anything man can ever do. It is infallible. Who can count the dust of Jacob and the number of the fourth part of Israel? And then he says, let me that die the death of the righteous, and let my last end be like his. Amen. This is a group of people you don't even like. This is a group of people you want to curse, but you can't. You realize when a believer dies, he dies in the arms of a friend. Every true believer dies in the arms of the same friend. The Lord Jesus. We look at them and their heart rate's going up and down, the blood pressure fluctuating and all this, that, and the other. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Mom, I love you. Husband, I love you. Brother, sister, whatever more. But in that other realm where we can't see, when the sails has got a halt, as Paul said that he would be loosed and sail across the moorings one day, when his ship would be untied and he would cross the great chasm called death. What we can't see is the Lord Jesus standing there beckoning them on the other side. And when they cross over into that land where the bluegrass is real tall, then the Lord sends somebody down to the river there that they know. Balaam, under this inspiration, looks and said, Lord, have mercy. I wish I could die like these people. I wish I could be like them. I wish I could die by them. He's so caught up himself in the inspiration. But once he gets out from under the inspiration, he devises a means that will be so damning to them that God will punish them. Why? The inspiration leaves him. He goes back to being Balaam again. You see, that inspiration is genuine, it's true, it's prophetic, it was. It never changed his heart. In his heart, he hated them. And when the inspiration was on him, he said, oh, I wish I could be like them. Oh, I wish I could die like them. And then whenever he left him, he said, oh, I hate these people. I would to God I could curse them. I hate them. Why? Whatever caused him to say this wasn't in him. It didn't change his heart. Can't you see how people can get involved in prophecy and it not change their soul? They read it. They get under the inspiration. Oh, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I believe it, Lord. I believe it, Lord. But if it don't die, I'm so glad this message just ain't excited us. I'm glad this message hasn't just, you know, helped clean us up a little bit. I'm glad this message is a part of our soul, brother, sister. It's part of who we are. It's part of who we are. So he wants to die like the righteous, does he? But let's see how he dies. Joshua chapter 13, verse 22. Balaam, also the son of Beor, the soothsayer, did the children of Israel slay with the sword among them that were slain by them. They can prophesy true prophecy. And God still not give him the desire of his heart. So here come the children of Israel years later. And they kill him like they do all the rest of them unbelievers. Killed by the same people that he laid a snare for. Now verse 11. The inspiration has now died down. He's broke out of the realm of vision in the fourth dimension. He's kind of coming to himself, maybe kind of reeling a little bit. What did I say? What did I say? And Balak said unto Balaam, what hast thou done unto me? What hast thou done unto me? I took thee to curse mine enemies. And behold, thou hast blessed them altogether. You remember the newspapers there in that one city where Brother Branham was out, and they're just blasting him right and left. And somebody said, Brother Branham, why don't you go down there and talk to them people? Why don't you pray God will curse them? He said, why would I want to do that? I've got all this free advertisement. Cost me thousands of dollars that I had to buy all that stuff. You realize a lot of it depends on how we look at things. We can sit around and feel sorry for ourselves. Poor little me. I'm going through this, that, and the other. Why don't you let God in the midst of your trials? Why don't you let God even in the midst of your bad mistakes and the bad choices you made in life? You can spend the rest of your life wallowing in it and feeling sorry for yourself, or call on the Almighty God who is able to rescue Abraham out of his bad choices and turn that thing right around. It was not because of the goodness of the children of Israel. It was not because of their consecration. It was because of the decree of Almighty God. I have blessed you and you will be blessed. Whoever curses you, I'll curse him. So Balaam has kind of come back around now from the inspiration of old Balak, you know, beating him around with these words. And he answered and said, must not I take heed to speak that which the Lord has put in my mouth? Notice, not my heart. The word can come to a false prophet and that word be as true and genuine as it can be. But it never changes that false prophet's heart. Praise the Lord. He'll still love money. He'll still love popularity. He'll have favorites. And Balak said unto him, come on, pray thee with me unto another place. Now remember, he still has this heathenistic view, this quasi-sacramental view that the soothsayer, the wizard, the witch, the view, let's work on his perception. Come on, pray thee with me unto another place from whence thou mayest see them. Thou shalt see the utmost part of them. And shall not see them all. I didn't see right off I made a mistake right now. Now I know if I'd have set you in the right place that you'd have went ahead and said the right thing, but this is my mistake and I'm sorry. So what I'm going to do, I'm going to set you in the right place. And he brought him into the field of Zophim, which is the English word for it. In the Hebrew it's Sophal, which is to look out or spy. Now I brought it out too open the last time, but what I'm going to do now is use spy glasses. Yes, sir. Now those of you that use binoculars and spy glasses, you know you got this little thing right up on top. That's for the focus. To pull it up real close. Then you go to study. Ha, ha. Uh-huh. Look at him. Look at him. Boy, we've got him now. We've got him now. I see that last place didn't work, but I'll send spies among them. Let him get over and click. Ah, he said that wrong. He quoted that wrong. I tell you what we'll do. We'll make a YouTube video. To spy, to keep watch, to watch closely. Can you imagine a bunch of these absolute blooming idiots that are studying this message every day looking for faults and mistakes? You poor ignoramuses. I'm reading the same thing you're reading and it's giving me rapture and faith. You're looking through all of that looking for mistakes and making you an absolute infidel. You shouldn't say that. I should say it. Now you imagine all this is going on up here, and unless God told Moses about it, Moses and the children of Israel, they're just down there enjoying the word. They're just going to church. They're just enjoying the message. Man, they're just acting like they got good sense. They're just enjoying, praise God, living under the influence, not realizing that the devil is watching them and the devil's spying on them. And he's trying to look and see and find everything that he can find. That's why some of these defectors have done background searches on me and Ron Spencer and some of these other preachers. See if they can find anything. go ahead and look. Because you won't find nothing. Somebody used to come to our church left years ago. Went around telling people I'd been married twice. And I honestly couldn't figure it out since me and Carol got married when we were 16. I mean, I don't reckon my mom and daddy let me get married when I was a baby. I mean, they might have. I just don't believe mom and daddy would do it. But you realize, people go to spying and they don't need facts. They'll make up lies. I count it such an honor. I count it such an honor that they can find nothing against my life that they have to fabricate lies. I count it such an honor that this message produces such a character in the lives of the people of God that they will have to fabricate a bunch of nonsense against us. We sure don't have to do that on them. He brought him up under the field of spyglasses to the top of Pisgah. Now, Pisgah was a very high mountain in the country of Moab, from some parts of which extend to the whole, you can see the whole land of Canaan. Balak brought Balaam to this side of where you could not see very much of the camp. So he found the faulty side. Yes, sir. That's what I'm talking about. Oh, boy. All right. Get your iPhones. Get your droids. Get all this. Boy, we're fixing to make a video. I'm telling you what, you serpent seed. The hiss of the serpent hisses from your very soul. The essence of death spews out of your being. Whew. He brought him up into the field of Zophim to the top of Pisgah and built 7 altars and offered a bullock and a ram on every altar. Well, he thought, well, it worked last time, so let's do it again. I mean, we baptized this man named Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, this woman named Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, and this one, Father, it worked last time, so let's just do it again. And he said unto Balak, stand here by that burnt offering. Watch him now, methodical. Stand here by that burnt offering when I meet the Lord yonder. And the Lord met Balaam. Not now Elohim. Yahweh. Jehovah. And what did the Lord do? The Lord put a word in Balaam's mouth. And said, go again unto Balak and say thus. When he came to him, behold, he stood by his burnt offering. Good little church guy, wasn't he? Oh man, he's got this thing down now. By the princes of Moab with him, and Balak said unto him, what hath the Lord spoken? Now watch him. Now he's on personal terms with God. So now, whatever dang God may manifest himself to Balaam, Balak addresses him in the same title. Now he's a real educated guy now. He's learning the right cliches. Learning to say the right thing. And he took up his parable and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Hearken unto me, thou son of Zippor. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Notice what God is projecting through the mouth of this soothsayer. I made my covenant with Abraham and I swore by myself that I, when blessing, I will bless thee, and cursing, I will curse thee. I have not changed my mind about my people. I have not changed my mind. I am not a man that I can lie. No, Balak, I still feel the same way. Let me tell you tonight, and every devil in hell the same thing. The Lord Jesus loves you before the foundation of the world, and he still loves you tonight. He put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life, and there's not enough devils in hell to erase it. That's real eternal security. Oh, people say, well, God don't change his mind about his word. And I agree with that. But God don't change his mind about his people neither. You imagine now him preaching the soothsayer, preaching the immutability of the counsel of God. He probably didn't even believe in predestination, but he's preaching it. You don't even believe in election, but he's prophesying about it. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. He has said, and shall he not do it? Or has he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Balaam could look at himself and see the admixture of evil and good, heathenism and truth, false prophecy and error in his doctrine. But under inspiration, he could look at the Almighty Elohim and see he is not a man. His counsel is immutable. His words are unchangeable. What words about what? What are we dealing with? Dim people. Verse 20. Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed, and I cannot reverse it. You imagine Mary said, hush, hush, stop, stop. But let's go on one more verse, Dr. Balaam. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. How is that possible? These people had sinned and rebelled and lied and caused the awfulest mess that ever was from the day they come out until now. Lord have mercy. What are we seeing? We're seeing a view of God that looks beyond just humanity. Don't you see? There is a Jacob that he looks at that he can see sin. And there is a Jacob that he sees no sin. There is a part of you that is his elect. It cannot sin no more than he can sin. And there is the human part of you that falls short of the glory of God every day. Gene, he said, I see no wickedness. In that seed, Gene, I see no unrighteousness. And yet he'll have a preacher to burn your hide off. You just got to know which you he's talking to. Hallelujah. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord is God. Notice the compound name now. The Lord is God is with him. And the shout of a king is among them. Oh, glory. Hallelujah to God. You imagine old Balak standing in there and saying, who's that? I didn't know they had a king. I thought they had a prophet. Who was it? Now unto him which is immortal, invisible, the only wise God, to him be glory and power forever. You imagine old Balaam standing there, and he heard the rustling in the mulberry trees, and he heard the wind blowing. He said, it's the shout of a king. It's the shout of a king. What's he doing? He's rallying his troops. This is what the bride's got that the denomination don't have, the shout of the kings among us. Oh, hallelujah. Listen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, what would you think about a prophet that you'd called over to curse your enemies? And this is what he said about your enemies. He has not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a king is among them. I think I'd pack up my toy soldiers and go back home. You think, how in the world can you defeat this people? If you could only understand tonight, you've even got a more sure word of prophecy than this. Israel's fixing to turn right around after the teaching and follow his teaching off the word. And they're fixing to get in all kinds of troubles, and thousands of them is going to die. But you're getting ready to be changed out of this world in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. If you could only understand his sickness and death, and nothing else can stop you.
Hallelujah.
Children, do you realize you're unstoppable? This gospel ship is unsinkable. We're unmovable. Oh, hallelujah. We're unreproachable. We're without blame in the sight of Christ. And the shout of the King is among us. What's he doing? Rallying his soldiers. And before long, the shout will extend into the sixth dimension. And the dead in Christ shall rally. Glory to God. Don't you understand? That's why it's so important for you to hear the shout of the King, the message of the hour, in the day you lived in. Luther heard it in his day and was sealed away. Wesley heard it in his day. Pentecost heard it in their day. Come on! Many of your grandmas and grandpas, oh, you said, well, they didn't believe the message. Don't worry, many of them believed everything God showed them. And when the resurrection come, because they responded to the shout of the King, when the King's voice of the resurrection begins to shout, they will hear the shout of the King, and from the sixth dimension, their theophanies will be released, and they'll come down here and call their own bodies from the dust of the earth. Why? They responded to the shout of the King in life, and in death they've responded to the shout of the King.
Oh, hallelujah.
Hallelujah. If this word so excites us, so does something for us, can you imagine one day some of you sisters have lost your husband? Sister Ruth, some rest of your sisters, some of your brothers, you've lost your wives. You're standing up brushing your teeth one day, and all of a sudden Brother Homer walks into the bathroom. Sister Gail walks into the bedroom where you are, Brother Sam. Hallelujah. Beautiful young woman again in a resurrected body. Why? Because they responded to the shout of the King in this day. Glory to God! And the shout has been released from the throne of God. And now they are responding. Call me what you want. Call me crazy. Call me whatever you want to call me. But as long as I can respond to the shout of the King, that matters to me more than anything else.
Glory. Glory.
You imagine Balak and his princes are standing there mad. They're aggravated. They're upset. Look at all the things you said about them. There is the dust. You can't even count a quarter part of them. Look at all the, oh, I wish I could die like they're going to die. I wish my death would be like theirs. The Lord God says I'm with them. The Lord says he's among them. You don't even see their sin. You don't even recognize it. Not only that, but there's a shout of a King. But I said a King. I didn't know there's a King among them. I thought they're just a bunch of interdenominationals. I didn't know they had a King. I thought they're just under their prophet. I thought they're just following some man. I'm trying to help, but you won't let me. Glory to God. The prophet of God said Balaam had a King that he answered to, and that was Balak. But he said Moses had a King that he answered to, and that was God. So here is the voice of the King, or the shout of the King among them, under the ministration of a prophet of God. But the King was there, but he could be seen every now and then by a pillar of cloud or a pillar of light.
Oh, glory.
I'm going to read verse 21 one more time, because if it's so good under the blood of bulls and goats, I just wonder what it is under the blood of the sinless Son of God. He hath not beheld iniquity in Jacob, neither hath he seen perverseness in Israel. The Lord his God is with him, and the shout of a King is among them. Unlike Balak's shout, It was among the elite and the rich and the famous. But in this crowd, the king's among the rich, the poor, the black, the white, the red, the yellow. Don't make no difference to this king. Amen. Whether you live in a shack on the side of the road, if you live in a mountain, a palace, or whatever more, the shout of the king is among them. I said the shout of the king is among them. Aren't you glad the shout of the king is still among us tonight?
Praise God. Let's pray together. Hallelujah. Oh, Heavenly Father. How could we comprehend this prophecy without inspiration? We've just went through incident after incident of their shortcomings, their unbelief. How could this man, by inspiration, say, you look at them and see nothing? How could he say it? So it proves to us, prophetic utterance must come with spiritual understanding, or it will seem as if though sometimes that it's a lie. How could you anoint this man to say that you don't see iniquity in Israel, or perverseness, or wickedness? And yet thousands have died along the way because of sin. Unless there's a spiritual understanding. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How could Paul write about a group of people that in his sight is unreprovable, unblameable, holy in his sight? Not in our own, not in the sight of one another, but in his sight. Glory to God. And yet maybe this very day, we've said or done something that displeased you and you had to convict us and we had to say, Lord, I'm so sorry for that. Forgive me for saying or doing that, Lord. I'm sorry. And then a preacher stands in the pulpit and says, there's a part of you that is unreprovable, unblameable, holy in his sight. And we think in our hearts, how can that be? I was just convicted today for something that I did or said. It was a different part of us, Lord. The redeemed part is unreprovable. The part behind the veil can never sin. He that committeth sin or is the author of sin is of the devil, but a regenerate soul cannot sin. But it's this old flesh, oh hallelujah, which we're desiring to bring into subjection to the word more and more every day of our life. I know some folks like to glory in forgiveness. I'd rather glory in being led around a trap instead of falling into one and asking you to forgive me after I fell into it. To me, that's even greater, Lord. Hallelujah. The same Holy Ghost that can forgive me surely could lead me around it if I wouldn't be stubborn and hard-headed. Help us, Lord. Oh, Father, we're so glad. Even though this was said over 3,000 years ago about Abraham's natural seed, the shout of the king is still among us. For we're told in 1 Thessalonians 4, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. And when the prophet preaches that rapture message, he tells us there's three things that takes place when he's descending. The first thing that takes place is the shout. A messenger. Getting the people together. Hallelujah. Then the voice of the resurrection. We're so glad we have responded to the shout of the king. The message of the last day. And now all seven seals are open for those who can feed on the full word of God. When we recognized the very word of God was eagle food, then we left the other thing. We heard from our theophany. Lord, we know the seventh seal isn't just something written in the Bible. The seventh seal is also identifying with us. Hallelujah. The seventh seal must come open to the prophet in order that the other six can be made manifest.
We are sealed also with the book. So if the seventh seal is broke, it is a loosening. Loosening of what? A loosening of the seal. The mystery, our names was hid. So we know when that angel comes down in Revelation 10:1, John sees an angel come down from heaven, and he has a little book. He don't have the big book of life, but he's got that little book. Glory! And it's open. Oh my. If it's open, he must be reading something or calling something. Hallelujah. Glory! Calling our names from that open book. Glory to God. Then the seventh seal was the coming of the Lord. Glory be to God. The opening of that word, the coming of the Lord Jesus, your presence, Lord. The shout of the King. Thank you, Lord God. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Don't you understand, children? Don't you understand? People can raise their hands and worship God in the similar sense that we are. But we're worshiping under the opening of the seventh seal. The church, the people out here, they're still worshiping under a closed book. Under a closed concept of who even God is. They're not even sure how many there are. They're not even baptized in His name. But when those seals come open, it's the loosing of the book. The loosing of the mysteries that was inside the book. So we are worshiping. No wonder when the book come open there in heaven and John saw all of them, heard them screaming and hollering and shouting and crying. Why? It changed worship. It turned worship in a different direction. They're not worshiping under a closed book. The real elect in this message are not worshiping under a closed book. They are worshiping the Lamb Himself being among us under the influence of an open book. So we're not just saying Brother Branham when we look in the book. We're not just saying our pastor when we look in the book. We are finding ourselves when we look in the book. Glory to God. Glory to God. And if you truly by revelation can come right back and say, the shout of the King is among us. And you, His voice, proclaiming, not just repeating quotes, not just repeating scriptures, but a lived voice, an oracle spoken out by God. Hallelujah. 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 Then you become a mystic into the mystical body. A mystic is one who the secrets are made known to. And the secrets are only made known to the initiated. The initiated that's been brought into this mystical something of whatever it is. And they share hidden secrets that nobody else knows. Whether it be the Masons or the Odd Fellows or some lodge or this and that and the other. You know, they have certain signs and certain ways they talk and you and I'd walk right by them and never understand nothing about it. Well, that's the way it is with the spiritual bride. She's baptized by an invisible union into the mystical body and she becomes a mystic to the world. And the mysteries have been, the mysteries have been made known to her. That's why you show her all of your so-called mistakes you want to until you're blue in the face. And when you get done, she'll still say, I still believe it. And you call her enough. Call her anything you want to call her. And she'll smile and go right on why. She has been initiated into the mystical body. You didn't talk her in and you can't talk her out. Brother Branham didn't talk her in. The preacher didn't talk her in. Mama didn't talk her in. Hallelujah! She was baptized in by the Holy Ghost and there ain't enough devils in hell to get her out. She is part of the mystery herself. For me to deny this message, it would be like me denying my birthright. Me denying my birth certificate. It's who I am. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh. Don't you understand what we're feeling? It's the shout of the King. It's the shout of the King. Sing something, Harry, before I go on. Oh, glory. Don't you love Him, saints? Don't you love Him? Oh, how grateful we ought to be. How grateful we ought to be. We're not worshiping tonight under a closed book. We're not worshiping under the symbols of some Trinitarian something or another, but worshiping under the opening of the seventh seal. When your name has been called, not just a church, not a city, not a church age, but you as an individual, your identity found written in the word. And when you hear that word, you identify from your soul, it's who you are. Hallelujah. You know one of them, he knows my name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister Reese, come up for prayer. Hallelujah. Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus.
Counts the stars one and all. He knows how the sand is on the shore. He sees every sparrow that falls. He made the mountains and the seas. He's in control of everything, of all creatures great and small. He knows my name, every step that I take, every move that I make, every tear that I cry. He knows my name, and I'm overwhelmed by the pain. I can't see the light of day. I know I'll be just fine, 'cause he knows my
Ruth had really been suffering with her back, and she went to a surgeon this week, and he told her that the surgery that he performed would not eliminate the back surgery. There might be some reoccurring things that would come in later. So physically, they don't really offer her much hope in that way. But she also wanted me to tell you that it's been 24 years, Sister Ruth, on Friday. 24 years ago on this Friday that God healed her of stomach cancer. You know what? I believe that King is still among us. Glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we bring our sister before you as a body tonight, Lord. She wanted me to make this known to the church so the church could be able to pray. We believe there's saints here, Lord. Oh, the devil might send his spy glasses around, and we got all kinds of faults and shortcomings, but we're not just looking at all them things. We want to see ourselves through the eyes of the King, from the tops of the rocks and from the hills. We want to go up to Calvary and over across the hills of eternity and look back down through the eyes of the King and see how the King views us. Lord God, you see this need in Sister Ruth's body, Lord. And as I talked to her the other day, Father, talking about the pain, sometimes it was just almost unbearable. Lord Jesus, I lay my hands on her tonight. I join my faith with her and these believers. And I ask you, Father, in the name of Jesus, the doctor didn't really offer her much hope of the far of a surgery being able to better. But I told her, she go to the doctor, just listen and see what he has to say. What he has to say, your answer might be in that very thing. Sure enough, it turned out exactly that way. So then, Lord, we look at your report. And I find another place in your word. And I don't see where you say, well, by my stripes you might be healed, or by my stripes occasionally. But I find an absolute. By his stripes we were healed. I find another absolute. They shall lay their hands on the sick, and they might perhaps or possibly they shall. In the name of Jesus. Lord God, that surgeon didn't offer much hope. So we want to come into the surgery room tonight of the first surgeon, Almighty God. When you operated on Adam that day and you went inside of Adam's body and you took out that rib, you're the same Jehovah God that can move on my sister's body tonight. Father, we ask you tonight in the name of Jesus. May the Holy Ghost anoint you now, Lord. We believe you, Lord Jesus. Make her well, I pray, Father. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 Anybody else got a need? You don't have to come up here. Everybody lay hands on you. Receive it right there where you are.
The Spirit and the bride will sing, come. Elect the feeling stir inside their heart. Our united time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord. She's hearing the shout of her King. The token's been applied. He's cleaning from inside. And the dove leads the lamb once again. The fine linen, clean and white, is granted to in the blood of God's own Son, with a righteousness that's not her own, she's just before His throne, where she.
Prayer request submitted. Please pray for Brother Francis Jackson from Hardy, Arkansas. They taken him to the ER with an apparent heart attack. Asking for prayer. Let's just pray right now. Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we don't know this man. Maybe some of these believers here do. But Lord, we know that You know it. Dear God, You see this situation in an apparent heart attack in the ER. We're asking You, Father, in the name of Jesus. There's people standing right here, Lord. Dear God, that went to the ER with heart attacks, and the presence of God come right in among where they were. And Lord God, You raised them up. We believe You're that same God. We have the shout of the King among us. Lord God, we're so grateful. We don't have the voice of a superintendent. We don't have the voice of an overseer. We don't have the voice of some archbishop somewhere. We don't have the voice of a pope or whatever more. We've got the voice of the King. We'd rather have the voice of the King any day, because that voice speaks resurrection and life. Father, in the name of Jesus, may You go to this man, Lord God. May You bring him out, I pray, Lord. In Jesus' name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Oh, bless Your name, Lord. Don't you love Him tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Let's sing it together as we go. God bless you. I love You in the Lord. Fine linen, clean and white, is granted to her. Praise God. Sing it here. Let's sing it together, saints. See You, Lord willing, this weekend. Go in the fear of God.
It's granted to her. She's washed in the blood of God's own Son.
Oh, yes.
With the righteousness that's not her own, she's just before His throne. Where she
age. She's still hearing the shout. Saying, come. The elect are feeling the stir inside their heart. 'Cause our uniting time has come. We and the Father are one. Soon we'll be with our Lord forevermore. Hearing the shout of her.